Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Afterlife voicemail system. If you're trying to reach heaven, please press 1. For Yahweh, press 2. For Muhammad, press 3. If you're trying to reach Nirvana, you're going about it all wrong, so we certainly can't help you. If you'd just like to leave a message, wait for the beep.
Hello and evening. Welcome to the Collective. I am your host, Magenta Ash. Unfortunately, Joey is working tonight, so he won't be able to join us. Tonight we're going to talk about reincarnation. It's a very interesting subject. And, I've done some research today that I wanted to kind of go over. But reincarnation. Many ancient religions and modern religion have some form of reincarnation. If you look at Indian religion, that's one of their main focuses, is the debt that you have or you accumulate in one life passes over into another. I'll get into my personal belief. I believe in it. Why? I've had some very, very interesting series of dreams that I would near say are glimpses of my past lives. If you look at it scientifically, energy is neither created nor destroyed. So at that point, what does that mean? If we are energy of some sort, where do we go? I mean, of course, we would love to think that we are eternal. And I kind of think we are, in some form or fashion. Now, you have some kind of reasons for reincarnation that varies through different religions. Like I mentioned, one of the main ones is you experience your karma. What good or bad you do in one life, you will then experience in another. To satisfy one's desires is another interesting concept that perhaps before each cycle of birth and death, you have certain things that you need to accomplish, personal desires that you need to overcome or difficulties that you need to overcome. Another interesting one is to fill a debt. Perhaps you've debted your soul to someone else, and you have to, fulfill a debt to another soul. And I recommend this book for everybody. It's called Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian West, Dr. Brian West. It's a true story. He was a psychotherapist in the mid-80s, and one of his patients came in with a form of anxiety and some OCD compulsion, and he was doing some hypnotherapy on her where he was just progressing her back, and he recorded every session, so these are based off of the recordings that he had with her. But basically, these two random strangers, he's trying to help her through her anxiety, which came on suddenly after dealing with some trauma in her life, which that's usually how it happens. But he was doing some hypnotherapy with her, and then all of a sudden, she started progressing backwards in different lives. Now, at first, he was skeptical. And so, he's thinking, what is going on? But then he realizes he starts to research everything she's saying. Turns out the, very vague or very small city she said she lived in at one point, I think it's in Greece or in that era, turned out to be true. Like all her little facts were turning out to be true. So he gets involved in helping her realize that her anxieties and her fears of this life carried over from her past life. Now, the interesting thing with his book and her dilemma is that reincarnation, you are reincarnated with certain souls. You will always be indebted or impacted with a certain soul or a group of souls. In essence, like a soulmate or a twin flame or whatever they call them. So basically, you learn certain lessons from these people. They will always be, and you know, we all have those people that we, I don't know, just meet, and it's instant friendship or instant you become lovers. And so that's what those people are. You feel like you've known them forever because you have. And so, you know, you have, and they turn out to be all different kinds of, you know, they'll be your lover in one life and your mother in another. So if you ever, and I know I've felt that way with my mom, I felt like she was my daughter at some points of our relationship where I was taking care of her. She might have been in another life. It's a very fascinating book. It's true. It kind of goes in, I don't want to spoil the entire thing, but there is a very interesting twist. He also gets to get her into such a deep hypnosis that she's allowed to entertain what they call masters. And these are the higher energies, angels, perhaps, as we would consider them, that come to her or come to Dr. Wes and explain some of why we circle, you know, why we have a birth and death circle that we go through, that we are internal and we are actually learning lessons because we need to get to the Godhead. Or the supreme, you know, what you would consider God. But there's lessons. We're not able to just reach that kind of nirvana. We have to go through many, many lives. And it's in the, you know, thousands. One life where she is, I think at one point she's a little boy. And he dies very early in a war of some sort. He, you know, he's a casualty of war. There's another life where she is a woman, and more of a prehistoric, you know, caveman kind of time. And she drowns. Now, with that, she, you know, in this modern day, she has a very big fear of water and swimming. And so when she goes through her death cycle, or the death, you know, when she's dying, through therapy, she wakes up and she no longer fears the water. So, you know, like that goes to say, what if our fears of that we have currently, or anxiety or depression, are based off of past lives, that we carry that kind of negative energy with us. We carry our death scenes with us. Things like that. It's very interesting. So I will give our call-in number. If anyone wants to kind of tell us a story of what they think their past life was, or if they believe in it or don't believe in it, our guest call-in number is 516-387-1909. So definitely give me a call. Let's have a conversation. I'm here all by myself, people. I need you. I guess there's another more modern research. And there's been a lot of research about reincarnation. a psychiatrist named Ian Stevenson investigated many reports of young children who claimed to have remembered a past life. I think he conducted over more than 2,000 cases in a period of about 40 years. And he published numerous books, so I would definitely recommend those as well. They're very interesting, more on a scientific level. But children often are the ones who remember, of course, because it's, you know, they're new to this life. I can tell you a story of my brother. When he was about 2, we were, you know, how 2-year-old is, rumbling around, blah, blah, blah. He was playing, and he had a sword, and I'm watching him play, and he turns to me, he says, "Long, long ago, sissy, I was a warrior, and I died." And I said, "Long, long ago, what do you mean?" And he's like 2 or 3. "Long, long ago," because I remember, "I died, and I had a sword, and I died." So I was very interested in getting him to talk more. So I tried to ask him a couple questions, and he would say that he was a warrior, he had a sword, there were temples, or he would call them the triangle things. He said, "I lived where triangle things were." I mean, that's a 3-year-old, you know, kind of giving very, I don't know, detailed, odd, you know, it's like, it couldn't be their imagination, it could. But it was just weird out of the blue. And, you know, he talked about it for a year or so. He would kind of come back to it. And, you know, but at 2 or 3 or 4, you know, it wasn't concrete information. It was kind of pieces there, here and there. But I thought it was fascinating. Just, you know, it was just so out of the blue. Now, one of my, you know, I guess I can talk about my personal experience. And, of course, it's a dream state. So, you know, whether or not you believe that information is passed to you through dream or not, I do. I definitely believe that that is a state that is conducive to being, you know, hypnotized or you know, put under. So I had these series of dreams in one day. I think I was 17, 18, in Ohio. I was sick, so I wasn't feeling good. I really hate to take medicine, so I was trying to write it out. I started having a series of dreams. The first one was very, very cold place. There was snow. I could feel wearing something heavy, like fur, and there was a guy there, and I presumed he was either my brother or my lover, but he had blonde hair, and he was tall. It was cold, and it was just a glimpse. It was like a flash of information, so I don't know if that was a death scene, like some people have, or if it was just a flash. As soon as that one ended, the next one, you know, another one started. The same guy was in the dream. This time we were on a ship, and there was a storm. And so the waves were knocking people off the boat, and there was a lot of people. I would say we were wearing, like, pilgrim clothes, almost. You know, I had my hair in a bonnet. I remember the man, whoever he is, being knocked off the boat, and we were trying to get him back on. There was a lot of screaming, but I think he passed away. I'm trying to think of the other two. There was a series of them, but they were all the same. It was the same guy. Don't know who he is. He apparently must be of some importance because he's in, like, nearly every past life dream I've had. The weirdest one was through the whole series, the last one was seemed like more of a futuristic place. It was completely white sand. And when you look at the horizon, you would see twisted old metal of what used to be a city. Okay? Like, it looked like almost like a nuclear explosion had hit, and pretty much, you know, there was just the bones of a city left. And this is probably a couple hundred miles away from us, right? The sand was pure white, and there was nothing else around it. The camp that we were in were sand dunes that had some kind of flap over them. So they dug into the sand and kind of made your home that way. I had red hair. That's all I knew because it was blowing in my face at the time. And it was so dry and hot. I could feel the sand, like, getting in my mouth and gritty, and it was just really horrible. But I'm with the same guy, but now he does not have blonde hair. I could recognize him. But at that time, I think he had brown hair, and he was very dark complexed, either from the sun or whatever race we were. But we were talking, and then we saw this bright white zoom out of the sky, and we all knew what it was. It was a bomb. It was either a nuke or some sort, but it, you know, came and it crashed into the city, and we could see the city, you know, light up, and we could also see the residual energy coming our way. So we clamped down into the tent and we're holding on to each other. And in the last moment, I'm above just bones. There was nothing left, just our bones. And I'm above it. So those are my interesting, what I think are my past lives. Future lives. So it's very interesting. It was just so detailed and real. So that's my story. And if anybody is listening, give me a call at 516-387-1909. I would love to hear someone's story. In the meantime, I can kind of go over some more interesting, I love talking about reincarnation. Sylvia Brown is another, you know, she's a psychic. I think everyone knows who she is. She has had a series of interesting books as well. I know a lot of people have discredited her at some point. But her books are, they feel, I don't know, there's like a natural truth to some of what she was saying about reincarnation. She still believes in pretty much, the same thing that Dr. West was talking about. We live our lives, we live many lives, we, you know, collect lessons in order to purify our souls enough to go enter into heaven or enter into a nirvana with a super energy. So the main difference is that she believes it, you know, heaven, as we like, is a different dimension, that it floats 3 inches above Earth. So we are actually, you know, sitting here, we are, you know, it's on top of us, this heaven or this, you know, spiritual plane. That's why her theory is when you see a ghost, it's always floating or doesn't have any feet. It's because what you're seeing It's just the afterlife, the other realm that we go to, that our spirits are naturally meant to be in. We come into the physical when we are, you know, and we also have a choice to be reincarnated. In her books, we always have the choice. So if you think about that, just think about your life and realize that maybe you had a choice. Maybe you're here because your higher self wanted you to be here. Interesting theory. And she also goes into that we choose who our parents are. We choose everything. We choose what lessons we're going to learn, what pain we're going to experience. We're going to have choices on who we love, who we hate, you know, what skills we have in this realm, or, you know, in this lifetime, which, you know, is very interesting, because to think that our souls have very many skills, more than we have now. We just choose what we want to have. And sometimes, especially when you've had a hard childhood, that always made me chuckle. Like, wow, I was a dick to myself. So note to self, next life, don't be a dick, okay? Because I don't want to be a dick to myself anymore. I you know, there's some things I want. Like, I want to be skinny. I want to have good teeth. Maybe rich parents, maybe not, but just good parents, you know, and yeah, be great. So yeah, just very interesting if we actually choose what happens in this life. She also goes into soulmates or you, of course, we'll see, not in every life, but you see in a lot of lives, that you have karmic debts to. Say you killed somebody in one life, well, maybe in this life they become your child who has a very crippling disease and you have to take care of them. So you're paying your debt for that life with this one, which I kind of think is true too. I've always felt that there are some people in your life, and they're probably not the best people to be in your life, but they're there for a reason. And if you can just figure out what lesson am I to be learning from this asshole, kind of helps it out, kind of equals, you know, the anguish, or, you know, lessens the anguish a little bit. Yeah, so I know I've had plenty of experiences with people. I'm like, why are you in my life? There must be a reason. So, and sometimes you don't see it until later. I can tell you from experience of losing someone in a car accident, you know, there was a drunk driver hit us. I know I've mentioned it before. And he was ejected out and killed instantly. I had known him only barely, for around 2 years. We had first been friends and then became more than friends, boyfriend and girlfriend, fiancé. And in that short time, I felt like I knew him more than just 2 years. And I sometimes wonder if it was a karmic debt that I had to pay. Like, I had to, you know, because I very much pushed him into finding out what his goals were. He had a very hard life. There was bouts of being homeless and, you know, just stuff like that. And I really wanted him to accomplish what he needed to accomplish. He was very intelligent, more so than most people gave him credit for. He's very talented, you know, musician as well. And I just felt like I had to help them? And I told him that one time we had a conversation, and, you know, we were debating if we should continue our relationship. And I just said, you know, I feel like I need to be there for you. And, you know, you have the option if you want to be here as well. And, you know, he said the same thing. He felt like there's a reason why we were together. And hopefully, I hope that me pushing him to realize and achieve some of his goals in a short period of time, there for him. So hopefully, yeah, I'll see him again. I definitely believe in an afterlife, and I definitely believe in some sort of reincarnation. I like the movie What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams. Very interesting kind of view of what reincarnation is, and the afterlife. So I definitely would recommend that movie if no one's seen it, because it's going to make you cry, so bring some tissues. And, you know, just, yeah, it's a very interesting movie. I got about 2 minutes left, so I'll wrap this up. I kind of wanted to go over some things, and I'm very excited about. The end of the month, we are going to have a guest from vamp.org, Erin Chapman. She's a great girl, great gal, I should say. She's going to come on and kind of talk about their website, which is awesome. And if you like anything about vampires, from literature to historic stories, any of that, and everything in between, they have a very awesome website. So called vamp.org. I would recommend anybody to go check it out. But she's going to come on and kind of explain their website, talk about some of their upcoming articles. It's kind of a blog as well. So we're going to have her at the end of the month. I'm trying to book some very interesting interviews. We are definitely going to have Darker Realms on again to talk about vampirism, to talk about other kin. So we do have some exciting things coming up. So definitely stay tuned. I appreciate everybody who's been listening in. Definitely take the time. Don't be afraid to come talk to me, to talk to me in chat, or you can find me on Facebook and, anything. You talk about anything, I'm free and available. And that's what's our goal here is to have a collective voice. So I will say goodnight tonight. Thank you for listening in. And we will see you next Saturday at 10 p.m. Central. Good night.